Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I love verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Heavenly Father, there's an awful lot in these four verses. And Lord, I do pray that you'd bless and help each and every one tonight, dear God, as we look at the Bible, as we investigate the principles of the Word of God. I just pray, Lord, that it'll be an encouragement to each of us as we run the race that is set before us. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you. We praise these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. So right after the service tonight, we're going to head on out to the fellowship hall, and we're going to watch these young people who have made these cars, and we're going to see which one goes the fastest. But you know, the main thing, young people, that I kind of want you to remember is this. You know what? I don't know who will be faster than who, or which car will make it to the finish line first. But you know what? I think every single one of them that was created will get to the finish line. You know, hey, even if you came in last, you just say, my car made it to the finish line. And you know, folks, there's a race that we're all racing. And you know what? It's not a competition between any of us with each other.
Right.
It's all our own race. And your race isn't going to be my race, and my race isn't going to be your race. But the minute you got saved, that was the starting line.
Right.
And you know what? God says, I've got a race for you to run. I've got a race for you to run. And here in this portion of Scripture, the Christian life is likened unto a race that we are running. And there's so many elements that are given to us that encourage us in the running of our race, to help us to run it well and to help us get to the finish line and fulfill God's will for our life. Let me just give you a handful of things tonight. Notice, first of all, that God wants us to consider the crowd. Consider the crowd. I hope as many of you as possibly can go on out here, and most of us that'll be out there, listen, we don't have a race. We don't have a car that we're bringing of our own. You know what? We're there for one reason. That's just kind of root for the young people. Come on, just root for the young people. Just pick a car and root for it. Pick a young person and root for them. And folks, in chapter number 11, Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible gives us what we call the Hall of Faith. And a list of many great Christians who have run their race, and their race is finished. And folks, the Bible tells us in verse number 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So every single Christian that was listed in Hebrews chapter 11, and I believe every single Christian that has lived since this time, they all make up that great cloud of witnesses. And folks, listen to me. I promise this is true. If you could hear the supernatural, if you could hear what only angels can hear right now, if you can hear what's withheld from us, you know what you would hear? You'd hear somebody up there calling out your name saying, come on, come on, you can do it. Come on, come on, don't quit. Come on, it's worth it. It's worth it when you get to the finish line. Don't give up. And of course, I couldn't help but flip back and look at some of these characters. And, you know, all of them had to run their race. They had their time on earth. It's said of David, who's listed here for us, that he served his generation by the will of God. But you know what? His generation has come and gone, and, you know, his race has been run. But you know what? He still is part of that heavenly cloud of witnesses. He's rooting on the Christians of today. I thought about Abraham and Moses, and I went down through the list. But I guess to make it more personal tonight, I couldn't help but think about some people that used to sit in this room. And I began to think about them rooting for you to keep going. And I thought about brother. I looked at the front row as I was getting ready. And Brother Max, I couldn't help but think, Brother Bo, how proud he'd be of you. And to think that he's got a young man in his family that surrendered the gospel. And son, I'm just going to be honest with you. It puts a big target on you. The devil would rather just take you out now than mess with you later. But you know, when you get discouraged, just listen for Brother Bo. Because I promise you, he's rooting for you. Amen. Come on. I seen Brother Jeff Scales here somewhere. Where's Brother Jeff at? I couldn't help but think as I saw you standing in the back there, I thought, you know what? Brother Dallas and Sister Maxine, maybe they're not here for you to go set the kitchen table and get some encouragement. But if you listen real hard, every once in a while, I think you can hear their voice saying, come on. I know it's not always easy. I know there's discouragement that comes into your life. But you know what? You can make it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. I went out and sat with Brother James, and I had a lunch with him in Sherwood quick before we raced back here and got ready for the evening service. And Mom and Dad came up in discussion, and we got to talking about my mom and dad. You know, they're part of that heavenly host. Come on, Charles and Ruth English is up there rooting for us. Come on now, think about it. Every single one of you have somebody up there rooting for you. Amen. Hey, Brother Nathan, Tom Clay, come on, he's still rooting for you. He's even rooting for Tommy. Still rooting for him. Say, hey, I know you've been through some things, not as easy as it used to be, but you know what, keep going, son. There's a time you're gonna embrace the Savior. You're gonna see something you can't imagine. And everything that you're facing now, and all the discouragement you're facing now, and all the reasons the devil's giving you to quit the race, you're going to be so glad that you didn't do it one of these days. So you know what, folks? Every one of us needs to listen to those voices of encouragement. So number one, consider the crowd. Number two, I want you to notice that the Bible mentions both weights. Notice it says, lay aside every weight. And then it says, and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let me switch the order of them. Let's talk about the sin first, because it'll be easier for you to understand what the weight is when we talk about the sin. The Bible talks about this thing called a sin, and it's not just any sin. It is the sin which does so easily beset us. And I think every single one of us, if we're going to get to the finish line, we better do some self-examination. Come on, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Because I think for every single person, there's a besetting sin. I think there's something that's going to be more of a temptation to you than there might be to your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, anybody else that sits in this church. It might not be the same thing for everyone, and I'm sure it's not. But why is this the person that says, you know what, I've got to be careful of all sin? Because, folks, it doesn't matter what the sin is. Okay, it doesn't matter what the sin is, it's wrong. Let me say it again, it's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. But you know what, there is maybe a besetting sin in your life, something that the devil can use to get you that it may not affect somebody else. Somebody else may not even be tempted by that sin. And you know what the Bible's saying? The Bible's saying you better examine and think about your besetting sin. And you know what? You better be careful of that. You better mark it, because if you're not careful, it'll take you out of the race. Let me ask you something. What is your besetting sin? You know what? I've watched a lot of different things take a lot of people out of the race. Sometimes it's the sin of lust. Come on, where you know what? People can't get that thing under control. Hey, I've watched, come on. Faithful Christian men, faithful Christian women fall in this area of their life. Hey, if the devil can get David with it, he might get me or you. We better be careful in that area. Right. You know something? It might be not something that seems as dramatic, but what about the sin of laziness? Yeah. You know, think about how many people have been taken out of the race just because of laziness. Amen. All of you guys that's ever attended Bible college, you, come on. If I asked Brother Young, if he was mean enough, he could stand up and give me a name. Anybody else that's ever been in Bible college, you could stand up and give me a handful of names. Here's a young person or several young people. Come on, came to Bible college about the same time you did, claimed to have the same call of God on their life. And you know, what was it? Some secret sin like lust, something like pornography? No, they just can't get out of bed in the morning. Just won't get out of bed in the morning. Well, I'm sorry, folks, that's still a sin. And for some people, it's a besetting sin. And listen, if that's your besetting sin, young men, listen to me. You better get a work ethic. Yes. You know, some of you young men, you need to go out and get a J-O-B, job. Come on, you need to look in the mirror and say, you know what's taking me out of the race? You know what's going to keep me from being everything that God wanted me to be? I'm lazy. I'm lazy. somehow I've been told and convinced that it's everybody else's job to provide for me. And that's not true. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. I wish our United States government really believed that. Hey, hunger's a great motivator. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like to eat. So you know what I learned early? I like to work too. Amen. Right. And I don't know what it is. We ain't got time to go. But listen, what I'm saying is this. Here's the question. Question part A. What is the sin that is most likely to take me out of the ministry? Well, I better build some big safeguards against that sin. What's going to take me out of the race? How about this? The weight. Let's talk about the weight for a second here. Hey, what about that? Well, preacher, it's talking about something heavy. Yeah, weight, something heavy. If you're running a race and you're trying to carry something heavy, I could see where it would hinder you. Yes, but it's not a sin. Okay, what sin is most likely to take you out of the race? Watch this. What is the thing that is not a sin, but it's still most likely to take you out of the race? You think about that. Isn't that something? I think it was the famous missionary C.T. Studd that said, I'm not afraid of failing. I'm afraid of succeeding at the wrong thing. I'm not afraid of failing. I'm afraid of succeeding at the wrong thing. You know what? There's some things that are not sinful. If you came to me and say, preacher, I have this hobby and it's not sinful, I'd say, yep, you're right. It's not sinful. But what chance does it have to take you out of the race? Okay, I've got this interest here. I've got this business endeavor here. Watch this. I've got this relationship. I've got this friend. Let me ask you something. Is that friend dragging you out of the race? First of all, you better understand what a friend is and what a friend isn't, according to the King James Holy Bible. What I'm saying is this. Here's the two questions. We're going to move on. Well, what is the sin that's most likely to take me out of the race? And there's an answer to that question if you listen to the Holy Spirit. What is it that's not a sin that can take me, that's the most likely thing to take me out of the race? And you better lay both of them aside. Amen. How about this? Run with patience. Isn't that an interesting little phrase there?
Yes, sir.
It says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, everybody, look up here and let me help you a little bit. This isn't a sprint. The Christian life's not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. And running and patience linked together in the same phrase may seem like that they counter one another, but they don't at all. Ask any marathon runner. Yes, you need to run, but you got to run with patience. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm going to tell you three things. First of all, you got to be patient with yourself. You know what? Not every single day are you going to cover as much ground as you're going to wish you covered. But let me just ask you, did you cover some ground? Did you make some progress? Amen. Then thank God for the progress that you did make. Amen. And there's going to be, preacher, I got up and I had these intentions and I wanted to get this done and I wanted to accomplish this and I only got this. And well, thank God for that. But listen, get up again tomorrow and hit it again. Hit it again. You're going to be patient with yourself. I want to say this to the dads. You got to be patient with those around you. You got to be patient with your family. You know, I've seen some guys get on fire for God and they take off like a wild man. And they take off and guess what? They leave their wife behind. Come on now, I'm going to help some of you right now. They leave their kids behind. You know, it's good to have zeal for the Lord, but you know what? You need to learn to not only be patient with yourself, but be patient with people around you.
Right.
You know, I took this lady's hand right here at the marriage altar, having to hold from this day forward, for better for worse, for sicker and poorer. And all of that, and you know what? The thing is, I want to run the race, but I don't want to leave her behind. Okay? You know, I want to run the race, but I don't, come on, parents, listen to me. Don't leave the kids behind.
Right.
Understand you got to train them to run with you. Amen. And you know what? Sometimes they're not going to be able to keep the same pace. But you know what? Run with patience. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with those around you. Come on, even in the youth group, there's going to be some of you take off faster and you'll get frustrated with the rest of the young youth group. Why don't they get on fire? Why don't they get going? And I get that, but you know what? Hey, part of the race is reaching out and helping some that maybe aren't as fast, but they still need you to be an encouragement to them. You know, how about being patient with the Lord? You say, patient with the Lord? Yeah. Yes, come on now.
Yep.
Because sometimes you're going to want things to go faster than God wants them to go. And sometimes God slows life down a little bit. And you're like, well, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? I want to go. Why I want to go? And he's going to say, you know, I think I know what pace you need to set. I know how fast you need to go. I know how much ground you need to cover. And well, what are we talking about? We're talking about just learning patience as you run. And so run with patience. And then look at verse number 2. What about this? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Oh, my goodness sakes. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Now, watch this. The author and what's the next word?
Finisher.
Hey, you know what I wrote down in my notes? Jesus was a finisher.
Right.
The author, the starter, and the finisher of our faith. You know, one of the things that I've been able to have some influence in, I wrote some books. God's blessed them. God's using them. So I've got other preachers and other people interested in Christian writing through the years that would come to me or they'd call me and they'd say, hey, I've got a book started. I'd like you to read. Now, first of all, I finally just had to make a rule, okay? If I spend all my life reading what everybody else wrote in the little tiny bit of time I have that I can schedule writing in, then all I'm doing is reading everybody else's stuff and never getting anything written. So I just told everybody, all right, I am so sorry, but no. Could you give me advice? Could you talk me on the phone? Tell me, finally I told Cheryl, I'm going to write a book on writing. So I wrote a book entitled, Did God Put a Book Inside of You? And I published that book. And that way anybody that calls and says, I got so many questions about writing, I'll say, I'll send you a book. You read the whole thing. If you still got a question about it, then you know what, call me. But probably 99% of your questions will be answered if you just read the book.
Right.
And they said, well, I only got a couple of questions. I said, wait a minute. You want to write so people will read what you wrote, but you don't want to read what someone else wrote so you can learn how to write. No, read the book. Then call me if the question doesn't get answered. But you know what the funniest question is? I'll ask them, so have you written anything? Oh, yes, yes. Have you written several? Yes, yes, I've got 4 or 5 books started. I said, really? Yeah. I said, how many of them are finished? Well, I haven't got any of them finished, but I got 4 or 5 really good ideas. You know, the author and the what?
Finisher.
Folks, it just seems like we're not careful. We can laugh at that crowd when it comes to writing a book, but what about people who start and start and start and start but never finish anything? Hey, listen, young people, what I said a few minutes ago about your cars, and as you watch them go down the track, some of you are going to be so worried about whether or not you beat the other person because you're hyper-competitive, and that's fine. But you know what? If your car crossed the finish line, you're a winner.
Amen.
I'm talking about in the race of life. Make sure that you finish. Now, how in the world am I going to make sure that I finish? You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You got to listen. This applies to every age group in this room. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus, okay? Our children, come on now. Moms and dads, they're looking to you. And that's what God put them in your home for. They're looking strong to you. And that's just natural. But you got to point those little eyes to Jesus. Teenagers, listen to me. You get to an age where all of a sudden, you know, you're starting to turn into a young adult, and all around you, there's everything in the world trying to distract you and get your attention. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. You better, during your teenage years, keep your eyes on Jesus. I was picking on these girls back here, but we have a number of young people that's graduated, and they're kind of in that, you know, in between. They're not teenagers, they're too old. We carded them, they can't come to the youth activities anymore. And yet, you know, they haven't got thrust into life where there's a, you know, God's brought a mate into their life. And look right up here. I'm begging you to listen to me. You know how many kids in your age group got their eyes off Jesus? You better keep your eyes on Jesus. You better keep your nose in this book right here. If you do, you'll be all right. If you don't, you're in for a bunch of trouble. Come on, young people. In that age group, you got a lot of extra time. If you're not careful, you're spending it on social media. That place will not keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. And so you get married and you get a family going, and man, life's going a million miles an hour, and preacher, this and that, and I'm trying to, I get it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, some people are sitting at home, they've quit the race. You know why? Because they decided they'd get their eyes on somebody. And that somebody maybe was a good example for a while, but all of a sudden they fell by the wayside. And if you're not careful, you're going to use that as an excuse. The devil's going to whisper in your ear, well, you know, they didn't finish their race and they quit. And so what's the big deal if I quit? What the big deal is you're not supposed to be looking at them. You're supposed to be looking at Jesus. Because notice what he did. Notice verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, if you want to focus your eyes on quitters, then you know what? You'll be a quitter. But Jesus wasn't a quitter. Don't you come to me and tell me that your eyes are on Jesus when you quit serving him, when you quit coming to church, when you quit following him, when you turn your back on his ways and his will for your life. And then this verse number 3, I love that little phrase here. Wow, we'll finish with this. Look at that. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. A young person gives up on God, or a person that gives up on God, they faint here before they faint here.
Right.
They faint here before they faint here.
Right.
And you know what they forgot? You know why they fainted? The Bible tells you how you don't have to worry about that. Consider him. Consider him. Consider him. Okay, preacher, I'm tired. Well, consider him. He was tired too. Did he finish?
Amen.
Preacher, I'm discouraged. I think you can go to the Bible and find times where Jesus was discouraged. Let me ask you something. Did he finish? Did he finish? Well, everybody's turned their back on me. Well, my goodness sakes, Jesus never had to face that. Yes, he did. Did he finish? Did he finish? Come on, senior saints. I'm weak and I'm sick of body. You know what? Did he finish? When he was in Gethsemane sweating those great drops of blood, did he quit? After they tied him to that post, and after they laid that cat of nine tails across his back, and after the blood ran all the way into a pool around him. And folks, let me just ask you, did he make it to the top of Golgotha's hill? Did he hang on that cross? Did he go through those 3 hours of darkness? Did he take the sins of every single one of us, and did he bear them on that day and pay for them? And when he came out of that darkness, did he look up and say, it is finished. It is finished. Finished. He got to the finish line. Listen, look right up here and we're done. I'm not going to say that the race is always easy, because you know what? If I said that, you'd all know that I'm lying. And there's days when we have to endure like Jesus did. Consider him. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. So don't think everybody's going to be rooting for you or congratulating you, because you're still faithful to God. Quitters like to go after people who haven't quit. That's why you better be careful who's got your ear. Quitters like to go after people who haven't quit. That's the contradiction of sinners against you. But you know what? Jesus endured that. He kept his eye on the prize. He said there's going to be a reward one of these days. And the Bible says he's now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, folks, the starting line was the day that you got saved. Preacher, where's the finish line? Right there at the throne. Right there at the throne. And you know what? When we get to that finish line, we break that tape. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have a few crowns. You'd be able to throw at the feet of the one who ran the race to perfection. And because of that, you know what? I'm going to listen to the voice of the crowd that did it right. I'm going to lay aside the weight. I'm going to lay aside the sin. I'm going to run with patience. Got to be patient with myself. Got to be patient with people around me. Got to be patient with the Lord sometimes, because his ways isn't always our ways. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. because he was a finisher. He was willing to endure. And Jesus is the one sitting at the finish line. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd help each and every one in this room. Everybody's race is a little different. Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you would encourage each one in their race. Lord, use each one. You've got a plan. You've got a will. And dear God, you've got something you want to accomplish with each of their lives. So I pray, dear God, you'd help us just to be faithful to the end. Pray these things in Jesus' name.